Welcome to Broker to Broker. This podcast is all about real talk from one broker to another. Each week, we'll be talking with an AIM member about their journey into the broker channel, their challenges, and unique insights. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. So today, we have Jeremy Haridath of Peace Home Lending.
How you doing, JP?
Awesome name. I'm great, man. How are you?
It's a beautiful day.
Oh, it's a beautiful day. Peace Home Lending. I got to know more about this. I love branding. I love the name. So tell me about Peace Home Lending.
Sure.
Why you came up with it.
So at one point, we have 100 five-star reviews, I guess, as I developed over my career in retail.
On Zillow?
On Zillow, correct. Cool. And I was sitting down one night, me and my girlfriend, and we were kind of just going through what that really means. And I used to have transparency, communication, and some other words that never really jived together. And we sat down one night, and we end up coming up with proactive, efficient, available, creative, and effective. And really, that's the essence of the five-star review and what we do for every client that comes to us. Right.
So say those again. What's Peace again?
Proactive, efficient, available, creative, and effective.
Nice. So when you were, did you like Peace Home Lending and said, let's put some words into that? Or was it that and you kind of backtracked and went, holy shit, it's Peace?
Like, I think it was, holy shit, it's Peace, right? Right. We actually had some friends, some realtors, previous clients that I sent text messages to say, hey, what do you prefer, this or that? And it was like Peace Home Lending, Peace Home Loans, and there was a few different ones. And I started recording myself, leaving a voicemail. Hey, this is Jeremy at Peace Home Loans. I'm like, no, doesn't have a ring to it.
So do you do a lot of deals for hippies? Or are you a hippie? What's the deal?
I mean, I believe in peace. Yeah. I mean, I think it transmutes positive energy.
Oh, yeah,
and,
100%.
And I'm all about providing positive energy. I don't want to be the negative guy, right?
So, yeah, especially in our industry, right? Where our industry has a bad rap, right?
Right.
It has. And I think it's starting to come back. And when we have people like yourself that have that positive attitude, it's going to make the process much easier for the client with buying a home, dude. Like, this is where people are living.
Right.
It's where their family's going to be. And, I mean, we've seen bad experiences in the past. So I think it's great that that's the name, straight up, Peace Home Lending.
Yeah, and it's great. When listing agents call me, I mean, I haven't had a listing agent go, I've never heard of your company, I don't want to use you. At least that hasn't happened yet, and I hope it doesn't happen at all. Mm-hmm. Being able to be Googleable, right? So if someone Googles Peace Home Lending, there's Google reviews, there's Yelp reviews, there's Zillow reviews. You can find me, right? And I wanted to be able to be findable, where someone could just Google me. Like I showed you 5 minutes ago, I received an email
with
name, number, email address. I live in Fairfax, Virginia. Here's my scenario. Can you help me? Mm-hmm. I love it. When I get those messages, it reinforces all the social that I've
been doing. And you showed me, you didn't even know where it came from.
I don't know where it came from. I'll find out. But
and that's something we'll talk about later, of how we can be more efficient with finding where everything is coming from, right?
Right.
We'll talk about that. But let's backtrack for a second, right?
Sure.
We just met today for the first time. You were at Fuse, right?
I was, yes.
In Vegas,
which
was, it was unbelievable, right? We didn't meet, it was complete chaos.
Correct.
But it was great, right? But let's take a backtrack for a second. I want to know a little bit more about you. Like, why did you get into this industry? Before you became a broker, right? Like,
sure.
You have to be a little bit of a lunatic to be in this industry,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So I want to know from the start, like, what made you just get into this industry first?
Sure. Well, I moved to Virginia in 2010. And I was working at Wells Fargo. I was a personal banker.
And that's where I started too, Wells Fargo.
Did you really?
Yep.
And I used to send mortgage leads to the loan officer that was assigned to the branch. And I was able to pull up on Wells Fargo's system who had what rate and where they lived. And I was able to just identify those clients and send it over and have the loan officer reach out because they were all serviced by Wells Fargo.
Yep.
So he was doing some business with some of the referrals that I sent to him. He ended up leaving there and going to a local mortgage company called George Mason Mortgage. Called me up. He told me he was interviewing for an assistant. I ended up interviewing. A lot of my answers were, I'll figure it out, because I didn't know anything about mortgages. I didn't know what escrows were. I didn't know anything. And I started there at $42,000 a year. And between 2000, that was October 17th, 2011. Between 2012 and 13, I helped close over 600 loans working with five different loan officers.
So 2011 is when you really got into the mortgage spot, right? Because you were a personal banker at Wells. I remember those days, leads coming through.
And I learned the business. It was all paper files back then. We didn't have all electronic scanning at this point. So it was sending out disclosure packages with UPS. And I remember I was told of days where you had to use fax for everything. Now I'm talking about UPS, and I guess the new generation coming on in this business is going, why are we UPSing documents, right?
Yeah,
everything's e-sign, right?
Yeah.
So I got used to touching every file, looking at pay stubs, touching tax returns, doing income calculations, doing rental income calculations, just being accustomed to the documents that are in a loan package, conventional FHA, VA. And in 2014, I remember walking the halls, and I used to hear loan officers on the phone. And I went, I can do that too.
Yeah.
So, well, please
go back real quick. So I think it's really important. You're saying you were touching every file back then. Now, what we're trying to do with this podcast is really showing what it takes to go from retail to broker. Right. That was the main goal. We're still winging it a little bit. Right. But it's important to say that you didn't just get into the mortgage industry now. And go broker.
No.
Like you were touching every file.
Correct.
You grinded.
Correct.
You put the work in. Yeah. You're knowledgeable. All that experience led to where you're at now, right?
It built confidence.
Yeah, I want to make a point of that because this industry is hard, right?
Yeah.
You have to start from the bottom and kind of work your way up. But not to cut you off, I just wanted to bring that out.
That's entirely accurate. It was the base of my foundation to become a loan officer and go 100% commission. And I worked at a company. I went 100% commission. I started doing some deals. I started getting more comfortable, starting getting busier. And then it was like, okay, I can use an assistant now. And back then, I was still winging it. I mean, when you go 100% commission, you want to figure out how to get your next deal, right? You want to do what's in the best benefit of the client. And I think we're going to talk about that when we talk about reserves.
And let's be honest, most of us, don't let anybody fool you. Most of us are winging it.
Yeah.
I mean, we might have a schedule and we have a template, right?
Right.
But it's still a reactionary type business.
Every client is different. And the moment you have to lend fairly. But when you assume that every client has the same scenario, you're at a disadvantage. Every client has a different motivation for buying. Every client has a different motivation for moving. They don't necessarily want to buy in some cases, but they have to. Right. And some clients should rent and not buy. But it's having that conversation with the client,
Everybody's
understanding
different.
What their needs are, understanding what their end goal is, and just helping them get there.
Yeah.
It's not rocket science, but you do have to know how the rocket works in order to
Rockets explode, right?
Right.
That's what they say.
And it can explode. I mean, if you're not brushed up on your guidelines and if you don't know.
That was a jab at Quicken, by the way.
If you don't know, for example, student loans, right? You can get in a lot of trouble not reading your credit report when you pull it and you see a $50,000 student loan. You see that line is deferred and you're not calculating a payment. You're running a client on FHA with a 55 back ratio. You're setting yourself up for failure at that point. You can't make those little mistakes.
And then you're hurting, a family moving. I mean, a couple days before. I mean, we've heard the stories, right?
Right.
The deal blows up right before they're moving into their house, like 10 days before. In today's world, it used to be a day before.
Right.
But, I mean, that's a nightmare. So, like you said, starting from the bottom, grinding, knowing where to get to, put you to where you're at now.
And,
right?
And the other thing is, while, yes, you should know what you're doing, sometimes you just have to do it in order to know if you can do it. So don't fear making a mistake. Sometimes you just have to make the mistakes because it's part of the process.
Yep.
It's part of the process of being better. It's part of the process of learning. Because once you make that mistake once, better not do it again. And if you do it a third time, you need to fix something, or at least you need to stop yourself to fix it. Because if it's a reoccurring mistake, that means you're not learning and you'll never grow from it.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Now, getting back to it, right? The why you got in, you told us a little bit about that. But I want to go a bit deeper, right?
Sure.
So you're married?
No, single. I'm engaged. Actually.
You're engaged. All right, cool. Wedding planned?
It's in the works. It's in the works.
I'm not going to put you on the spot
right now. Sure,
so you got in when you were talking about being a personal banker at Wells, right?
Yep.
Did you do it? Was it money driven at the time? or was it you saw what some of these guys were making, or is it just a change up? A change it like what?
It came easy to me.
Okay,
it's weird. I guess referring clients based on the numbers just made sense. It's a numbers game. I've always been a numbers guy.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
And as I started learning the business, I went A plus B equals C. It's easy. A plus B equals C. If you have A, you have B, you'll get C all the time. It's like it makes sense. It may get a little bit more complicated, but it seemed easy to organize A, B, C.
Okay.
And if there were multiple factors, I was able to see the transaction as a whole, look at the individual guidelines, and know this deal is a doable deal. So now after 20 minutes of talking to a client, I know what my hiccups can be. I'm able to articulate what the hiccups will be, let the client know that in advance, and then get the process started.
Yeah.
So that way, 2 weeks later, when we're asking for an IRS payoff, that they're going to have to be on the phone for an hour and a half, they're not going, whoa, you didn't tell this to me, right? And are we perfect all the time to relay that information? No, let's be real.
No.
But we do it the best we can. At least we know that's our hiccup, and that will be the hiccup. It's not you've had six different employers in the last 12 months, and we're moving forward with FHA, not knowing that FHA has a guideline if you have three or more employers in the last 12 months, right? It's just knowing your guidelines, and I'm not sure if that answered your question, but
I don't even know what we were talking about. No, it was great. So I want to get back to really getting some... Go ahead.
So why I did mortgages is it felt easy for me.
Right,
it doesn't feel hard. And when it comes to finding your ikigai, right, your place where you get paid for what you do, you're good at it, the world needs it. I forgot what the other one was, but it's easy for me. And I make money doing it.
Yeah, if that's coming easy to you, the mortgage, the process, you know, guidelines, all that, what's the hard part for you right now? Like a simple...
Scalability?
Scalability.
I mean, I can't say that since I've opened up the brokerage, things have gotten hard. If anything, it's focusing attention on myself and understanding that I need to live a balanced life. Right. Since I've opened up the brokerage, it's been wake up in the morning, go to sleep at 10, 11, 12, sometimes 3 in the morning because I'm working on files, I'm working on processes, I'm working on stuff. There's always something to do. I sat down and wrote a to-do list the other night, and the next day I've only did about a half. It feels like there's always something to do. Mm-hmm. And if I'm resting, it's like, no, I can't rest. Got to keep doing. And it's go, 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 go. But the hard part is creating that balance to build sustainability long term.
Yeah, no doubt.
If anything, that's my biggest challenge.
Yeah, and that's never going to end. I think we can come to grips with that. There's always going to be something to do. There's not an end game,
right?
And as soon as we can acknowledge that, you get much better.
Right.
Right. All right. So you started at Wells.
Yeah.
Then where'd you go? That was about 2011.
I went to George Mason Mortgage.
All right. So you went George Mason.
I was there till was May that like of 2014.
Like a correspondent type lender?
Correspondent.
Like a mid-range?
Yeah.
Obviously not a big bank
great,
like
great
Wells.
Company, great leadership.
Okay.
The loan officer I was working with, he ended up leaving or wanting to leave, and I just left with him.
Okay. And then where'd you go after George Mason?
I went to a company called MVB Mortgage, which is similar to George Mason. Another correspondent lender.
Yeah, we have the same type of path. I started in 2011, Wells Fargo, right?
Oh, wow.
Then I ended up leaving there. Unfortunately, at the time, it was a refi boom. If you remember 2011.
I remember the refi boom.
Right. Yeah. So I got in 2011, you know, spent a couple years there, then realized purchase, they're having trouble.
Were you doing loans there?
Or? Yeah, I was doing loans. Okay. Yeah, went straight in as a loan officer. And then eventually, realtors and other clients were saying, I like working with you, but I can't work with Wells because they just weren't closing on time.
Right.
So then after that, I went to two different correspondent lenders, and that's a broker now. But so anyway, we have the same type of path, which is really cool, right? So you went Wells, George Mason,
MVB.
Okay,
and,
MVB.
Every place that I've been, or at least from an origination standpoint, no one's went, here, Jeremy, here's a lead, go work on it. Mm-hmm. It's been, no, I gotta figure out this shit on my own.
Yep.
I gotta go out and make
only
the
way
phone
to do
ring.
It.
My first year, I remember I would have coffee appointments three different times in the day in different cities around Northern Virginia, Maryland, and D.C. Now, business is closing in Virginia, Maryland, and D.C. Mm-hmm. on its own. Like, when the phone rings, I don't know where that lead is coming from or who's sending that lead, which is, it's a blessing, which is nice, but... It was a lot of working my ass off when I wasn't seeing anything come my way.
Oh, yeah. You put in the time, and now you're reaping the benefits, right?
Right.
So I would say at this point in your career, making that transition, this was the best time for you to do it, right? And is that is that where Pease Home Lending came after this last company?
No, I went to
I went to Loan Depot. I want to know it all.
So okay, I went to Loan Depot, and I went to Loan Depot because at MVB I tried to get an assistant. I even tried to partner with two LOs to get an assistant, and they just weren't budging. Mm-hmm. So Loan Depot offered me an assistant right off the bat, and I went.
So you rolled with it.
I'm going to roll with it.
Yeah.
And I remember being at Loan Depot, great company, but they denied three loans that I sent to other companies, mm-hmm. and they were good loans. And I remember for one transaction, I was left in the dark. The deal was supposed to close. No one called me. No one in underwriting, closing, no one. I heard nothing. And of course, that it made me feel sick because I'm going, there goes your reputation, right?
It was a reputation.
That one transaction can break you, mm-hmm. essentially. And I ended up going to Homeside, Homeside Financial, great company. I was there for a little over 3 years. Reason I went there is because the underwriting manager used to be the underwriting manager at George Mason. So I knew her. I had a relationship with her.
Well, that's this industry, right?
Yeah.
It seems like everybody knows everybody.
Right.
Whether it doesn't matter what company you're at, right? It's pretty incestuous. Is that the word?
Yeah.
You know?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
And it was nice going to Homeside because I knew the final decision maker is someone I can rationale with. Yeah. And it wasn't just, nope, denied, or nope, this is not the case. You can't do this. I'm like, can we call Freddie? I'll be on the phone with you. Let's call Freddie. Let's see what they say. Because I don't necessarily agree mm-hmm. with this approach. And while everyone has their perception, Freddie Mac's the last decision point, right? Let's go to Freddie. Let's go to Fannie. Let's call HUD.
No doubt.
Let's get it in writing. And then we know what the actual rule is. And then we go from there, right? We remove the opinion of, I think this is the case. Like, no, what's the fact? And Krista taught me that. She taught me get down to the nitty gritty, find out what the rule is, and that's made me a better loan officer.
Are you still close with Krista?
Yeah, when I applied for my Virginia license, she wrote me one of my reference letters. And she wrote a beautiful reference letter.
Yeah, I'm starting to see that a little bit more in the industry where you might have a competitor that you used to work with. Now they're a competitor, mm-hmm. right? But everyone's cool. Like most people are. There's always going to be a couple of those, as Gary Vee would say, dickheads, right? But it's starting to become better, in my opinion.
Right.
Right? Especially on the broker side. I mean, everyone's in my market right here in Philly in the suburbs. I mean, you got Evan Wade, you got Paul, we're all good friends, but we're competitors. We never even step on each other's toes. So
there's so much business out there.
Oh, yeah.
The chances of you coming up against someone, it's very slim. And if you do, who cares? Best man wins. Move on, right? There's so many deals out there. Don't get hung up on one.
So you're at Homeside.
I was at Homeside.
I'm trying to get us to where we're at now. Please. I love this, right? Yeah. So after Homeside, where are we at?
So after Homeside, I opened up the brokerage.
All right, cool. And that was January you applied for your LLC.
Correct. So January, actually funny story. In January, I applied for my LLC. And before I did, I went to Homeside and I resigned from Homeside.
Okay.
And the leadership let me stay at Homeside until my license was approved.
Same here.
Which was cool.
It was really cool with my old company as well.
And because I made President's Club, I did like $25 million last year. They still took me to Cancun. And because I hit a certain level, they put me in the nice hotel. And so not hotel, but they
still
upgraded
good,
my room.
There's a lot of good people in this industry.
Yeah.
Because it gets a bad rap, even from other loan officers.
You think when you leave a company, that relationship has to sever?
Doesn't have to. It's all going to come back
around. We're all human at the end of the day. Let's not forget that fact. We're all human.
Man. You just want the peace, dude.
Right.
Right? You see
peace, love, and happiness.
Yeah, I got you. All right, so January, right?
Yep.
LLC. Now, how are you filed? You file as an S-Corp?
I am filed as an LLC with an S-Corp taxation.
All right, that's how I am
and
as well.
I have an enrolled agent who does my bookkeeping every month. And I have a CPA on the side, essentially, to help with any letters that are needed for any state documents.
Okay.
I choose to keep my enrolled agent because she was my accountant, and I'm able to sit down and have a conversation with her.
When you say an enrolled agent, can you...
They're not a CPA. They can stand behind you if the IRS audits me, but as a CPA, some, like Maryland, for example, needs a CPA letter, and it has to be done by a CPA. So a certified public accountant.
I got you.
So she can't do it as an enrolled agent, but that's fine. I just pay someone else to do it.
Yeah, that's fine. But she's the brains.
Correct. Want her there. And reason why I hired her is because she's straight and narrow, and I need someone to help me on the back end to make sure I'm straight and narrow, right? Making sure that my expenses are followed accordingly, I don't want to be shady. It's not the type of business model I'm creating. Mm-hmm. So I wanted someone to make sure my books are done accordingly.
Got it. Cool.
To not sway me and go, maybe you can take this expense, even though it's not an expense. Like, there's a lot of that out there, and I just didn't want to get into that.
Right. All right, cool. So that's how you're set up, all right? And that's what I got here. What steps did we take to set up the business? I want to start diving in. Now that we got to this spot after going through your history,
mm-hmm.
that's how you set up. So give me a little bit more. Like, well, why did you go broker?
Sure.
Let's start there.
Sure. So probably a little bit of a backstory. My girlfriend, she works in Panama City, Panama. And
cool.
She's been working there since 2017.
What does she do there?
She runs the legal department for the International Office of Migration in Panama City, Panama.
Whoa.
And she's cool. A lawyer. She's smart. She does her thing. And before applying for the position, we chatted about it. And so I've been back and forth from Panama to Virginia mm-hmm. over the last 2 years. And she's from Colombia originally, Bogota. And I remember when I was in Colombia with her, we were walking around, and I quoted a client 4.875 on a 30-year fixed, right? Whatever Homeside mm-hmm. was offering. And the client called me, and she's like, she's getting 4.375. And I went, that's a half a point difference. It's probably an FHA loan. I think she's
right.
putting like 5%
Because that's a big
down.
Difference if it's conventional, right?
Nope. She was getting 4.375 on a 30-year fixed conventional note.
No points, nothing crazy.
And I went, I'm half a point away. And one of my pain points, not saying that each correspondent's bad necessarily, but if I ever wanted to take a shortage to make a deal work or be competitive, I always had to go ask for an mm-hmm. approval. And that was my biggest pain point since I started in the business. Being told, no, we can't do this, or you can't take that much of a short, knowing whatever the circumstance may be. Right. And just that whenever I had to get to the point where I had to ask something, I got this pin in my stomach going.
Yep. Fuck. Been there.
All right. Let's do this. Right.
Yeah.
And it takes 24 to 48 hours to get some type of approval. And once I get the approval, like, it's my day's wasted.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that was kind of coming to me. I went, not being priced well. I started Googling rate sheets.
Yeah.
I just started with a simple Google search, actually. The whole start of opening a brokerage was a Google search. And then it ended with 3 a.m. on page 18 of Google.
Just
and then
a
I Google something
Google
else.
Google search. You didn't
and
speak
I keep,
to another broker?
Nope.
Wow.
Straight Google. I Googled everything. I read every page. I went to different lenders. I have a Google Sheets, so I created like a Google Sheets with mm-hmm. investors. I started pulling up investors. I think the first one I pulled up was Carrington, just because it was a rate sheet.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't hidden. I didn't have to enter a passcode. It was just Carrington rate sheet, boom. And I just started looking at the rates, looking at the programs. Mm-hmm. All right, I go down to 500. What's my adjustments? Started doing manual calculations and pulled up other investors, started comparing rates.
You're a nerd scenarios. With this pricing stuff.
Of course.
I love it.
I wish I can show you. I'll probably show you before I leave this Google
sheet. Ricky, can we get a big sheet up here with pricing?
It started with a lot of Googling.
Okay.
And after a while, I made my first phone call to United Wholesale. I spoke to Jamie over there. She gave me a few good resources. She sent me some emails.
Jamie Barrasco.
Yep.
She's the best. UWM.
And that's kind of how it started.
So what I got from that is you didn't have as much control.
No.
Right? Now, in the broker world, the misconception is brokers don't have control, right? Because you're brokering it out
right.
to other lenders.
Right.
In fact, we have a lot more control, in
right.
your opinion. And I think that's what I got. You had to ask for exceptions. Where
right.
now you can do what you have to do to get the deal done. And it's not all about price and rate.
Right.
You know, that's a simple part, but you got to eat, you got to survive.
Right.
The reason I came over, I have three kids, and I'm the quote unquote sole income of the family. But my wife's not watching this. No, she's the best. She's got the tougher job. But it was survival mode. I felt like, you know, we're not competitive. There's too much overhead at this correspondent lender.
Mm-hmm.
I'm already have my own brand, my own mini company.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the pricing's got to reflect that.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always been more of a direct to the consumer type guy.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it was the same type of thing. I wanted control, and it was pure survival mode. I'm like, I got to make money for my family.
Right.
Right. So that's what I got out of that. Would you agree? It's control. And then how you got started was really just Googling.
Control.
Which is crazy.
Google. And after opening up the brokerage, I mean, it's simple economics, right? If you have 5 underwriters and they're used to doing 10 files each, then you put an influx of 20 files for each underwriter, they're going to get backlogged. It's going to happen. And if you're at one company, that'll happen and it ruins your entire production for that entire month, quarter, until they're able to set up contract underwriting, contract processing, whatever it may be. And good leadership is able to identify that ahead of time to avoid. And sometimes you don't even know what's going to happen until it's just, oh, shit. Tenure is down and it's under 2. Now it's under 1.5. We got a refi boom, right? But the great thing is about being a broker is if one guy's busy, there's someone else who's not as busy. Yeah. And you just, we still close it in a great time frame.
Yeah.
And having the ability as a broker to just set up different relationships, whether it be whoever it may be, right? United, your Home Points. I mean, your Quickens, right? To each his own, right? If the model fits and it works for you. Mm-hmm. Don't try to be like other brokers.
I totally
build
agree.
Build your own company, right?
Well, that's the beauty of it, right? You own the company now. You can do it how you want to do it and put your own spin on it. Right?
Exactly.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. So, yeah, take me back to, in your brokerage, how many people you got? You got yourself as the owner.
So I started with just myself, where I originated and processed every deal.
Cool.
I set up all my contracts. I did everything myself.
Well, that goes back to
January.
When you started at Wells, right? You got to you went back and grinded.
Right.
Right?
I didn't want to hire someone and then not experience what it felt to do it.
Love it.
And then have them tell them to do it, not knowing what they're doing. I wanted to go through it myself, close enough loans myself, get my hands dirty, stay up late, chase conditions, go do everything. So that way, when I brought someone on, I actually hired 2 people in August. I hired an operations manager.
Okay.
She has no mortgage experience, and I did that on purpose.
What industry did she come from?
Finance. She had operations manager background, but not mortgage.
Cool.
So she's in close contact with a compliance company. She's in close contact with my lawyer to get her to a place where she can start taking over the back end.
Okay.
And because we want to be audit ready. When a VA auditor calls up, I want to say, can you come tomorrow? I want to get to that place.
So that's what you have in place for now. You have an ops manager.
Right. And I have an
account
manager.
Want to give her a shout out?
Yeah, Anna, you're doing a great job.
Yeah,
Anna. You're saving my ass. Thank you so much.
That's important.
Greatly appreciate it.
Dude, support, I mean, we need that right now.
And Enoch. So Enoch's my account manager. He's acting as my processor.
Okay.
Now, I kind of abused him when he came on, and he probably would admit this. I started using investors that I haven't used before when he just started on day one. He has mortgage experience.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm like, let's roll with it.
Well, that's my brother, Nikki, man.
He has investors that he's like, don't use them again, who are great companies, but if it doesn't mesh, it doesn't mesh. And that's the best thing about being a broker. If you're in a correspondent and your processor doesn't mesh with you, tough luck.
Yeah, you're trapped. Right?
You're trapped. You got to make that relationship work.
Goes back to the control. Yeah.
If we're not a fan of an account manager on one side, we can just request another one. And if the lender doesn't want to, we just use another lender, right? We build our own relationships with the plethora of people around us that wants to support us and wants to see us grow.
Love it. True partners, right?
So Enoch right now, I think we have, and I don't recommend this necessarily, but I have 30 different investors I signed up with.
Whoa.
We have like 14 files with 8 different investors.
Are you using what? Loan Shifter? What are you using?
Loan Sifter. Loan Sifter. I mean, again, everyone has their perception of who to use, but Loan Sifter, it's amazing. I'd rather get the deal and close it than not be able to get the deal and make nothing on it, right? Or pay to get the deal done.
Yeah.
Loan Sifter gives us the ability to find an investor. May not be your go-to for every single time, but for that one deal where you just need to get it done, you just do it.
Yeah.
I'm doing an FHA streamline now, and this one investor, they're backed up. Told the client it's going to take 60 days. She's cool with it. She's going from 5.125 to 3.5.
Right.
And I'm covering all of her closing costs and escrows with a 620 credit score. It's amazing.
It goes back to what you mentioned in the beginning. Every client's different. And that's the beauty of being a broker. We can really take the client's needs and place them what's good to the spot that's
good
best
for them. Right. Exactly.
It might not be pricing because they might need to be done in 20 days.
It could be service.
So you're going to come over here.
Exactly.
They have 75 days. They don't care. They want a lower rate. Okay, let's get them over here.
Right.
You know? So, I mean, that's really the beauty.
You match, you cultivate your business. Because in the end, that one client that you went with, that one-off investor that may be terrible, that client may refer you other clients, and all of a sudden you get referrals coming 3, 4, 5, 10 years down the line, and you're using your go-to lender on them, and as a result, your business grows exponentially.
I love it. Love it. So getting back to some of that compliance that you were talking about, right? Because that's in the back of my head, too. Like,
right.
When am I getting audited? Do I have everything? Like, we're working on post-closing this week. I have my buddy, or my sister's boyfriend who works for us, Jake, he's working on all post-closing from every deal. Just to have it, because I have no idea. So what do you have? I heard a deep breath.
It's in process.
It's in process.
It's in process. Okay. I have a grasp. I have a greater grasp on it now than when I first started.
Sure.
But this goes back to the thing I said before. You can't wait till everything's ready until you know everything in order to take action.
Really
good
point.
You got to take action. You just got to figure it out.
The Band-Aid.
And if you can't figure it out, then move on to something else, right? It may not be the industry or the platform for you. You can still originate loans, but maybe not as the broker owner. Maybe you work for a broker. You don't have to handle all that. But I'm willing to take the risk.
And that's the point of this. What we're trying to do with this podcast is, like, if you don't know an answer, you can call AIM.
Right.
And they'll find it for you.
Right.
We're in the growing stage. But that's the point of what we're doing now, is to give answers to other people that want to get in.
Sure.
To have a little bit of an easier time.
So I knew that, so I have my lawyer, I have my compliance company I'm working with.
Mm-hmm.
So I initially didn't have a lawyer until I just went, I'd rather just have a lawyer, pay a retainer, and just have it. So when I have a question, it's not, fuck, who do I reach out
where
to? No, I just email her because she's paid to answer my questions.
Mm-hmm.
And she answers them. Whether I like it or not, she answers them. And I could move on to something else. So that little uncertainty or that little detail that you just never think of that comes up, you need clarification on that. Because if you keep going without getting that little piece of clarification, you can be going on a wrong path.
Oh yeah.
That'll lead to an audit nightmare, right?
So you could quickly spiral downhill.
Right.
Right. You get one bad policy and you continue to do it, and then every file's like that, you could be in a tough spot, right?
Correct. So it's identifying. So it's hard to do when you close one loan, right? But after you close 50, I think we just closed our 47th loan.
Nice.
Not huge numbers. I intentionally have not made it huge. I intentionally, my realtors probably forgot about me.
Mm-hmm.
They probably hate me. Hey, realtors, you can start calling me now. But I intentionally did not mass market.
Well, that was smart.
To solicit business.
Right.
I've been more reactive. I've been the most reactive in my career than I've ever been, because I get the random, hey, I'm in Fairfax, I need your help. Right, because that's the immediate action, or my immediate attention has to go there.
How do you feel about
it? At least for now.
I love talking about reactionary versus more of a structured day,
right?
Just meeting you today, you seem like a structured guy, usually.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
No, right? But you're saying you've been more reactionary. Do you like that, or?
No, I need more balance.
That's what you mentioned, too.
Right?
Okay.
And actually, if I may throw in a plug, I did approach my team yesterday about me handing them my phone and my laptop for a week and stepping away for a week, which I've never done since I've been in the business since 2011. Every vacation, every time I go traveling, my phone's with me. I respond morning, day, night, doesn't matter where I am. Walking through a park in Bogota, I'll pick up my phone, I have the conversation, I hang up, I keep walking, right? I've never been able to turn off my phone.
Really good. I love this. So when my first son was born, I still remember being in the hospital, closing a loan. Went in a little waiting period after he was born. Because my thought is, I got to go make money for the family.
Right. It doesn't end.
You know, my honeymoon, I had to check in, right? Now, I already have a date, December 16th. I'm shutting down. Told my team. 16th to the end of the year, I'm out.
Oh, 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Very nice.
I want to do it. Like, I've never done that either in my career.
We're
on a similar path since 2011. You got to, right? You got to get that back. You need that rest.
Well,
right?
You got to sharpen your axe, right? You can sit there and slam your axe all day. I mean, you've heard the story.
Yeah.
You sit there slamming your axe. You're not doing anything. You're not doing anyone any good. And I don't think I'm there yet where I'm dull, right? But at the same time, I don't want to get to that point.
Oh, we got to burn out, man. Burnout's real, people. Burnout is real.
You can hate your job very quickly with burnout.
Now, do you think you can do this? Are you going to hopefully hand over the laptop and phone?
Yeah.
Because you have you have more control in the industry and you feel like you can do that, or are you also doing it because you don't want to burn out? Like,
well, I don't have any purchase closings that week, so, I think I have one or two. But
so
it's,
even
it's
though
not
you're not
going to
be working, you time this one out.
Yeah,
like, I mean, mine's December 16th, the end of the year, when it's kind of dead.
I'm taking the week before Thanksgiving because that's when things kind of slow down. Mm-hmm. And December's always been a bigger month for me, so there's always going to be December. It's going to be January, February. It's always going to be something.
There's always.
We got to have that balance.
And now that you're a full business owner, you got more on your plate than just doing loans.
Right.
You got to take care of your staff. You got to make sure they're good, you know, mentally, and they have time off as well, right? So let's dive into that a little bit, right? So
culture.
Yeah. Culture, right? So you went just being a loan officer, mm-hmm. which is still having a mini business within someone else's business, right? If you work for a correspondent or Wells.
Right.
But now you're a full business owner and you're the rainmaker too, right?
Right.
So you're doing it all like I am, right? It's a lot. Why don't you give me a couple things you didn't realize you would have to, a couple shocks, let's say, that when you came in, you probably came in like, I'm just going to start selling loans.
Right.
I mean, you prepared, of course.
Right.
But a couple things you just didn't realize this is how it is, really, as an owner of a mortgage company.
Disclosures. Not all investors send every state disclosure that needs to go out.
Okay.
And that's still a learning curve for me. It's not told to you. There's no like, hey, this investor doesn't send this one document out. You know, unless they're conditioning for it, it's not really on your radar because you got five more apps to take and you have clients to call. That one state document may not be on the forefront of your mind, which comes down to getting your compliance right, making sure that the processes are in place. Mm-hmm. So that way, as you continue to grow and become scalable, those processes are already there. So right now, what we're building are processes to be audit proof.
Because you are looking to scale.
Yes.
How big?
So while I like originating, it's not my true value proposition.
Cool.
I remember when I first became a loan officer and I laid in bed and I went, the phone rings 2 to 3 times a day with a new client. How excited would I be? And part of me, it's like, I like it, but then that's not my value proposition. That's not my genius zone.
It's not your strength.
Yeah.
Right? What's your strength then?
I feel I'm a great coordinator.
Okay.
I'm good at building things. I'm not the person to tie a group together. So if there's 10 people, mm-hmm. I'm not going to talk to the 10 people to try and tie them together. I need someone else to tie them all together, but I see where we're going to be in 2-5 years. And I just nudge in a certain direction. I don't push, but if I nudge every single day, all of a sudden we'll be at our end goal. And that's kind of what I'm building with my team. It's creating that culture of here's where we're going. I'm empowering. That's what my interviews were. It was all about empowerment. I'm not going to tell you what to do on a daily basis. You got to figure it out. And if we're not getting there, I nudge you in the right direction. And if you keep reverting, I told them I'll be quick, slow to hire, quick to fire. And I told my team that. And they understand that if you're covering my ass, you can stay. But the moment you stop, I mean, that's really, because if they're not providing value, it's tough.
Not about you as much as it is about the business now.
Right. It's the brand.
It's the brand.
And if they're hurting the brand, they shouldn't be on the team, right? Gary Vee talks about fire toxic people, right? My team's not toxic. And I love that now. So
that's awesome.
It's I want to scale. I want to hire loan officers.
So you want to scale, and do you want to continue to be more of a rainmaker? Do you want to be the lead guy and then getting them? Obviously empower them to get their own.
I can do both, and that's what I'm still identifying. I see 2 years down the line, and I can tell you what I see 5 years down the line. But I heard I went to a conference earlier this year, and the HR person from Netflix says anything beyond 2 years, you're making it up. You can want to be there, but
makes sense.
Who really can say where
they're
going to be?
Can't predict the future,
You can only work towards a certain direction, and I know the direction I'm going in, and we'll see how clear we get when I get to the next mountain peak, right? And I see again how far we can go.
That's cool.
Does that make sense?
No, definitely. I mean, I'm in the same process where I don't know if we want to scale, like, bigger, or if we want to just – right now it's my brother, myself, and Jake, right? Mm-hmm. Are we just good there? Because we're having a great year. We're having a lot of fun. You know, we're making money. We haven't – knock on wood. We haven't missed one – closing yet.
Nice.
Which is awesome.
It's amazing.
I'm in between, yeah.
You just started your brokerage too.
We're like the same time. Yeah, right. I mean, LLC was maybe end of December. Mm-hmm. I got it, and we didn't start making money until March.
And what states are you licensed in?
We're just PA right now, working on Jersey, Maryland. You said Florida's easy. I might just grip up some Florida real quick.
Yeah, so we're Virginia, Maryland, D.C., Florida, pending Delaware. But I just put in my name approval request with, I don't know if it's Department of Finance. The lawyer's helping me with it, but New York. Okay. I'm originally from New York.
Oh, I just heard that accent come out.
Yeah.
So, hold on, are you a Giants fan, Jets fan?
Yankee fan, even though I haven't watched the Yankees in a bit.
But you're not a football guy?
That much? A little bit. Okay. A little bit.
But Yankees guy.
When I moved to Virginia, I started watching the Redskins. Actually, my first ever football game was the Redskins, Seahawks.
Go Birds.
Playoffs game.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Eagles fan, huh?
Yeah. So, had to throw that. We're in Philly, so sure. Come on.
I mean, hey.
All right, cool. So I don't know where we just went off on a tangent. New York. You're getting your license in New York.
That's
a different state.
It's a different
for mortgage.
It's a different beast.
It's like Texas and New York seem to be the two outliers that I've seen in my career. Maybe I'm wrong.
If I don't do it, I'll know. If I don't do it, I'll never know. Right. And I'd rather do it and figure it out as I go. I like to think I'm competent enough to figure it out. Yeah. So I'll keep pushing.
So will you recruit in those states that you get? Is that your goal then?
Possibly.
2 year.
Possibly.
Goal, like you said?
I don't want to be a huge shop. At least that's not my intent. I want to be a smaller shop. I want to be a, as you can tell, a t-shirt, pants. That's what we
quality
wear.
Quality over quantity, right?
We don't wear suits. I don't wear suits to the office. When it's hot, I'm in t-shirt, shorts, and flip-flops.
Right.
Client wants to meet me, I'm in t-shirt, shorts, and flip-flops. You don't like it, you can go find another guy who wears a suit.
Yeah.
I,
that's not you.
It's you use me because of the value we provide. That's it. You don't use me because of how I look.
Right.
And that's the way I've been able to grow my business and represent it, and there's no lack.
Well, again, that's the beauty of owning the shop now. You can do whatever you want and put your touch on it.
Exactly.
Like, I'm sure you're a lot like me, where you've always thought you were going to do this, but you didn't. It wasn't the right time, maybe. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've all, 2011, we've worked with some companies. I created my logo, my brand in 2014, and people are like, why haven't you started a company yet? I'm like, I just wasn't ready. I didn't know it was here. So, I mean, that's what you've done, right? Like, you've probably already always known that you were going to do this, even though you didn't know. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
To get all hippie on you because you're a Peace Home Lending?
It's I looked in the correspondent. I always was intimidated by having a $2 million net worth because when my mom came to this country when I was 2 years old. Mm-hmm. I was born in Trinidad. Came to New York when I was two. I lived in New York my entire life. It's not like my mom's well off, right? So anything that I've done has been on my own dime, my own hustle. So having a $2 million net worth to get into the correspondent world, that's intimidating. It's, I mean, that's like, it's a pipe dream, right? So knowing that the broker level had a less barrier to entry was nice. Actually, I personally funded $50,000 to the business, and I was able to pay that back within the first 2 months of originating.
Awesome. That's awesome.
Which
man.
Was nice. That was
good for you.
That was my motivation. And ever since, Peace has been profitable, and that's great, right? As a broker, we make more on deals, but it's also a business. So just because we make more doesn't mean we pocket all. I actually make less commission in my career now than I did before as a loan officer.
So so right
now,
it's
the greater good.
Oh yeah, you have to put that there. So you're really looking at right now at least. Well, you always will, but all quality right now.
Yeah.
You might be making less, right? And you want some more quantity, but it's quality with you, man.
Right.
Right? So yeah, getting back to that. So we've been talking about policies, procedures. We've talked about that a bit, right? Is there anything
actually,
you want to mention on that?
Going to policy and procedures.
Yeah, let's talk that then.
I didn't know where to start with a policy and procedures. I had a compliance company kind of help facilitate that, and I read through it.
It was a template with your name on it, basically?
Yeah, a little bit, a little bit. I edited it. I mean, I kind of cultivated it to mm-hmm. Peace and myself, but it's still something that I'm reading through to go, are we actually doing what the policy and procedure says mm-hmm. that we're supposed to do, right? I'm familiar with all the different regulations, and that's good about having some mortgage experience. I mean, if you don't have mortgage experience and you come in and you got to learn all these rules, it's not easy.
It's intimidating, yeah.
I mean, when I got my NMLS license, like my state license in 2015, I got a 78 passing 75. I was in the mortgage business for some time. Mm-hmm. Not a great test taker.
Right.
I mean, but I passed, right? I mean, but you, in the mortgage business, you know what's right based off of the intent of what you're doing. If your intent is off, you're going to have a toxic mm-hmm. business. But if your intent is on point and you're doing right by the client every single time, you'll be fine. It's all about your intent. Are you chasing the dollar bill or are you looking to help the client? Does that make sense?
100%. Yeah, I love it. I love it. Now, we got a little bit of time left, right? So I want to dive into some of your, a little bit more fun, right?
Sure.
So branding, mm-hmm. right? Social media.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing with that right now? Do you have a logo?
I do have a logo.
I just haven't seen it yet.
Yeah. My logo, I actually hired a marketing company to work on.
Mm-hmm.
And they did a great job, but when I looked at it, it didn't speak to me. So a realtor who's a broker mentioned to me Logo Arena. Okay. And you pay a fee, and then all these people create logos. And you pick and choose which ones you like. They tweak them, and it was exciting. I was texting.
Dude, it's
like,
fun, man. I do this all day.
That same profile of people, the realtors, mm-hmm. past clients, family that I was messaging, I was texting them logos. I'm like, which one do you prefer, A, B, or C? What about this one, A, B, or C? And then I had them kind of vote internally, and I had my board where I tracked all the votes, and mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm going to go with this one. And that's how.
Please tell me it's just a peace sign. It's just.
You know, I had a few different ideas. I know. But this one actually popped. It's a little bit of a yellow and blue type of look. I'll show it to you.
We'll make sure when this gets out, we'll have the logo up there because people are going to want to see it now.
And I may tweak it as we continue to grow and brand, right? Yeah. Even setting up a website, right? I got set up with Lender Homepage, but now I'm actually building out my own website now because I want my own.
You want your own thing, yeah.
Want my own feel to it. And that's the best thing about it. You can use Lender Homepage and pay 50 or 100 bucks a month. Mm-hmm. Or you can pay a company $3,000 plus a retainer to keep that for you. And yes, it can be more expensive. But that one client that goes to your site that goes, I like this, and they go to your competitor and your standard website, I can possibly win that deal from it.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's
so what do you
don't know until you try.
Oh, yeah.
And if you don't try, it'll never work. So sometimes you just got to try and do. And if you fail,
I mean, we just jumped into this today. We don't know what the hell we're doing. No, we're just talking.
This is great.
This is off the cuff. I love it. What are you doing with where are you placing it? Like you mentioned that you have a lot of Zillow reviews. You showed me a lead that just popped up. You have no idea where it came from.
No.
Right? So what are you doing to have leads just come in right now?
I mean, I have an Instagram. I have a Facebook. I try to post every now and then. I'm a very introvert, and I can be an extrovert whenever I need to. So
there's a word for that. It's like a, I'll think of it.
There is both. A word for it.
Yeah.
I won't even try.
Omnivert.
Omnivert. There it is. So posting on social media, it's a little uncomfortable sometimes.
Yeah.
Even if I practice video sometimes, and it's just like it's maybe my thing. Maybe if this video is a hit, and then maybe I'll do more of it. Yeah. Right. I don't know. I haven't really.
You don't know
much.
Where it's coming from, really.
Yeah, it comes from all over. It was a lot of seeds that I've sown over the past few years.
Because you said you weren't reaching out to realtors as much, right?
Not as much as I should.
You should, but it's coming in.
Yeah.
But you're trying to put the, I mean, if you're going to start scaling, right, and bring on other loan officers.
The processes right now are more important. The systems are more important because the systems will drive business over time.
Yeah,
and of course, I mean, I want to get to a point where I can go, here's my phone and laptop for 30 days, and I truly disconnect for 30 days in the middle of the summer market.
Yeah.
At some point. Not now. I mean, I think I'm a little far from that, but eventually.
Well, I mean, dude, you got operations manager in there. You have Enoch.
Enoch,
right? Yeah. He's processor of an account.
He's an account manager, so he has all the relationships with the account executives.
Is he going to want to be a loan officer at some point?
He's a licensed loan officer.
So he is licensed now.
He can originate if he wanted to.
Okay. Do you think he will at some point?
Yeah, and it's written into his compensation plan.
Yeah.
That he can originate.
Well, we're right there with my brother, Nikki. So he's licensed. He's like he's my Enoch.
Right.
Right, but he wants to start building his own. You know, he's 26. I'm 36. He wants to start building his own thing. So at some point, we have to have a plan, right? For Enoch or Nikki to want to go do their own thing a bit, right?
And
what's your plan in place for that?
Here's the thing. A hunter's going to hunt. A farmer's going to farm.
Love it.
You can't take a square peg and put it into a round hole. At least they'll be miserable doing it. Or if they're going to do it, they can't do it for a long period of time.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I'm doing sales. I've been doing sales for the last few years. I'm not a salesperson, but I can sell because I can talk.
Yep.
I mean, God's gifted me with a gift of communication and articulating the thoughts as deep or high or as high, low as I need to be, right? But that doesn't mean I want to make phone calls, 50 phone calls a day trying to get loans. That's nice, and I'm doing it. I enjoy it to some degree, but I'd rather use my time building, creating, and using my gift of articulating a vision as we continue to grow. Does that make sense?
I love it, man.
So if Enoch wants to originate, he should originate.
He should.
I do have a small qualm about doing both, especially I spoke to one person and they want to originate as much business as they want, but it's like, well, just become an originator then. Become a loan officer, bite the bullet, and just do it. And then you have this fear. Like, if a hunter's going to hunt, you shouldn't have fear. Mm-hmm. You just got to go on a hunt.
Got to hunt.
You're going to kill something that is much bigger than you. You just have to do it. And a lot of people get hung up on they can't. And actually, one thing, I know we are limited on time, but finances is huge. If you don't have money and you're getting into the world as a broker or originator, even if you want to work for a broker, if you're going 100% commission.
We were talking about this earlier.
If you do not have 12 months in reserves and you've never originated a loan in your life, you should think twice, maybe become an assistant, make 30, 40 grand a year with BIPs and live that life for 2 years before you go 100%. Some people want to jump in and it's great, you can. But when you can't pay your bills and you're depressed and you speak the negative into fruition, you'll live that negative life. I mean, when I became a loan officer, I had some savings in the bank. I felt like I could make that jump. Actually, before I became a loan officer, that April I originated $1 million and I closed it. But I had that experience of going out and networking. I went to my local chamber of commerce. I networked my ass off. So when I did become a loan officer, I had some sort of grounding. I had the ability to do some, but that some can't pay the bills, at least for a long period of time.
Would you say before you advise other people on their finances, because that's really what we are, we're advisors, right? Right. You have to know how to manage your own, right?
I'm in agreement.
Yeah.
If your credit scores are not up there, like why? Are you advising someone on their credit when your credit's not together?
It seems simple enough, right?
It's tough, right? It's not an easy world. We're not taught how to do this.
Right.
But happy if anyone wants to contact me. I'm happy to talk about finances.
Well, this is a good way to wrap it up. Can you give everyone out there one simple thing to think about if you're going to become a broker or just being a loan officer like we just touched on?
Laws of success, habit of saving. You can probably find it on YouTube.
One more time.
Laws of Success by Napoleon Hill.
Okay.
The chapter on habit of savings. Changed my life.
Change your life.
I manage my finances. I have like 10 different bank accounts. Every time I get paid, a percentage goes in each.
Kills me with the amount of bank accounts.
And it works. I'm a believer if you can't handle what you have now, you can't handle something bigger in the future. So you got to handle what you have right now. And ever since I started doing that, I've seen different accounts start to grow where now instead of just having $10 in each account, it's a few hundred bucks in some. There's thousands in some. And I mean, it'll continue to grow.
It's awesome.
As time progresses. So Laws of Success, read the entire book. Napoleon Hill, Habit of Savings. Find it on YouTube or get the PDF, read it. It changed my life.
Love it, man. Well, thank you. We got Jeremy Herodath, Peace Home Lending. Can you tell everyone how to find you?
Website is Peace, PEACEHL.com.
Love it, man. Thanks for listening to AIM's Broker to Broker podcast. Subscribe to our podcast by searching for Broker to Broker on iTunes or Spotify, or visit our website at aimgroup.com/broker to broker.